Vedantic theory of perception. The theories of idealism and realism have accented the participation of the subject and object respectively in the creation of the world. They have exposed their limitation in their leaning entirely towards one of them. The idealist has been rigid in holding on to the subject alone and the realist to the object. The Vedantic theory of perception softens their views to accommodate both their stands. It finds the meeting point to explain the phenomenon of the world. The idealists have observed that the world could not have arisen without the action of the subject, that there can be no world without the play of the mind, without thoughts, that the mind's participation is necessary for perceiving the world. In the absence of the mind, there can be no perception of the world. The idealists assert that. So far as this observation is concerned, they are right. But they take a step further to declare that there is nothing apart from the subject mind responsible for the creation of the world. It is the action of the subject mind, thoughts alone, that produces the world, nothing else. And that the object plays no part in it. Idealists are right insofar as they hold that the world could not have arisen without the subject, without the mind. But they err when they declare that nothing else, nothing other than the mind is responsible for the creation. They err in rejecting the participation of the object. As opposed to the idealists, the realists have observed that the creation of the world is due to the action of the object, that the object alone is responsible for the perception. In the absence of the object, there can be no world. The realists assert that. But they also further declare that nothing apart from the object is responsible for creating the world. The subject has no part to play in it. Here again, the realists are right insofar as they hold that the world could not have risen without the object, but they err when they declare nothing other than the object is responsible for the creation. They go wrong when they reject the participation of the subject. The Vedantic theory states that neither the subject nor the object per se produces the world. It takes both subject perceiver and the object perceived for creating it. The idealists and the realists have to come together to account for its creation. Neither of them can possibly do it alone. When the subject of the idealists and the object of the realists meet, there arises the phenomena of the world. Action and reaction take place. The interaction between the subject and object, between the perceiver and the perceived, between thought and thing, produces the world. Examine a perception. The perception of a flower. How does it take place? The Vedantic theory states that the quality, attribute of flower exists in the flower as the object. The thought of the flower exists in the mind as a subject. The subject impinges upon the object to bring about the perception of the flower. The union of the thought and quality of flower produces it. If either of them is absent, there can be no perception. Say, the flower is not there. Instead, a stone is in the place of the flower. then you will not perceive the flower. Likewise, if the thought of the flower is not in the mind, instead another thought has preoccupied the mind, you will not perceive the flower even if it is there. Therefore, it takes both the existence of the thought and the quality of the flower to bring about the perception of the flower, the creation of the flower. The Vedantic theory reaches further to establish the underlying reality in both. The supreme reality, Brahman, is all-pervading. It exists everywhere, in the subject and the object. The object flower has certain quality which is variable, changing. Take away the quality from the flower, what lies beneath it is not zero, not nothing, but the changeless reality. The quality is the structure, the reality the substratum. The union of the structure and substratum is the flower. Similarly, the reality lies beneath the subject, beneath the thought of the flower as well. Thus, the reality Brahman supports both the subject and object. The thought of flower and quality of flower. These facts defined and brought together gives the mathematical equation for the world. Let the quality of flower be represented by QF and the underlying reality by B. Then the equation for the object flower will be QF plus B, which is the quality of flower and the underlying reality put together. Take the example of another object, a pen. The pen has its quality. Let the quality of pen be represented by QP. The reality is the same B. Then the equation for the object pen will be QP plus B. Similar equations can be made for the countless objects of the world, and the whole object world perceived will be the aggregate of the qualities of all objects of the world and the reality. Let the entire range of objects of the world be marked O1, O2, O3, etc. The qualities of the objects be QO1, QO2, QO3, etc. The underlying reality B. Then the equation for the object world, for the entire perceived world, will be QO1 plus QO2 plus QO3, etc. plus B. The subject is the mind. It consists of various thoughts. The thought of flower, thought of pen, thoughts of the entire range of objects of the world. When all the thoughts are removed from the subject, what remains is not zero, not nothing, but the underlying reality. Let the thought of flower be represented by TF, the underlying reality by B. Then the equation for the subject flower, that is the thought in the subject mind reacting with the object flower, will be TF plus B. Similarly, let the thought of pen be represented by TP, reality by B. Then the equation for the subject pen, that is the thought in the subject mind reacting with the object pen, will be TP plus B. Again, the entire range of objects is O1, O2, O3, etc. And the thoughts of objects TO1, TO2, TO3, etc. reality be. Then the whole subject mind perceiver would be the aggregate of all thoughts, of all objects of the world and the reality. The equation for the whole subject, the entire mind perceiver of world will be TO1 plus TO2 plus TO3, etc. plus B. The Vedantic theory states the perception of the flower is a result of the combination of the subject and object, the union of thought of flower and quality of flower, TF plus B and QF plus B. Therefore, the equation of the flower is TF plus QF plus B. And the equation of the pen, TP plus QP plus B. Likewise, the equation of the phenomenal world will be the combination of the thoughts of objects and qualities of objects and Brahman. The combination of the entire subject and object and Brahman. Therefore, the mathematical equation of the world will be TO1 plus TO2 plus TO3, etc., plus QO1 plus QO2 plus QO3, etc., plus B. Thus, the Vedantic theory of perception states the phenomena of the world is brought about by the reaction of the subject and object in the medium of Brahman. A few interesting illustrations given below help to further elucidate the theory. 1. Two palms clapping produce sound. Either one of them on its own cannot. It is the play of both palms that does it. Similarly, the subject mind alone cannot produce the phenomenal world, nor the object world. It is the impact between the two that accounts for the perception of the world. 2. Electricity has a positive and a negative pole. Neither of them produces a spark. But when the two poles come in contact with each other, a spark is created. Though electricity as such has no spark in it. Likewise, Brahman, the supreme reality, has no creation, no world in it. But when the two conditionings of Brahman come together, there sparks off the phenomenal world. Brahman, conditioned by thought, becomes the subject mind. Conditioned by quality becomes the object world. The subject and object are like the two poles of electricity. When they come together, there arises the perception of the world. 3. The ocean is a vast sheet of still water below with the waves of the surface. The water below is calm, whereas the waves on top are ever disturbed. They produce ripples and bubbles, froth and foam all over the surface. Notwithstanding the varied expression, it is water and water alone. The sheet below, the waves, the ripples and bubbles, the froth and foam. The different manifestations are brought about by the collision of waves. One wave is like thought of the subject mind and the other like quality of the object world. When these two impinge, there arises the disturbed water, the phenomenal world. Brahman is likened to water in the ocean. One wave to the subject, another to the object. When the waves clash, there arises the varied expression of water. Similarly, the clash of the subject and object produces the phenomenal world. However, Brahman remains the same, changes reality before and after the world emerges, just as water remains as water in and through all its expressions. 4. The world projected upon Brahman is like a pattern of cloth woven from cotton. The pattern is made up of the warp and woof. The warp and woof are like the subject mind and object world. The combination makes the pattern, produces the phenomenal world, just as cotton pervades the warp and woof, the entire pattern, so does Brahman pervade everything, everywhere. Thus, Brahman remains ever the one supreme reality, absolute, immaculate, unaffected by the projection of the world upon it. Brahman is like space. Space cannot be conditioned, limited, divided. Yet it is referred to as pot space, room space, inside space, outside space, etc. Nevertheless, space is one indivisible, all-pervading entity, not subject to division. Brahman transcends even the subtlety of space. It is ever the illimitable, indivisible, infinite reality. That reality is yourself, your Atman. Realize that. You will then realize the illusory nature of the world and rise above it. Become the supreme reality.